And whenever you see the word therefore, we need to stop and see what it's there for. So we need to go back. And so we're not going to do that now, but what I would suggest is go and read the chapter before Hebrews 12, because Hebrews 12 says we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. And the cloud of witnesses that the writer of Hebrews is referring to are all the people that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. And Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the Faith Hall of Fame. It's all these people who walked by faith, who walked with God, who did all the miraculous stuff, men and women like you and me, that God has had mentioned in his Bible, in the Word of God. And so we see people like Joseph. Who else do we see in there? Moses, Abraham. Throw some names out. Anybody that knows who's in Hebrews chapter 11? Enoch, Jacob, Rahab, a prostitute is in the Faith Hall of Fame. You know what? It doesn't matter where you come from. What matters is who are you in Christ, okay? So these cloud of witnesses, and what do a cloud of witnesses do? They bear testimony to the truth. So they testify to the truth of God, and we can read all about that in Hebrews chapter 11. So that's your homework, okay? Read Hebrews 11 and then Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And in Hebrews 11, there's a scripture that says this. It speaks about Abel, and it says, Abel, being dead, still speaks. Abel, being dead, still speaks. I just want to encourage you. Your testimony is eternal. When you're dead and gone, your testimony, your legacy, still lives on. It lives on. And I just think about the testimony of the Lord. He died 2,000 years ago. He was raised from the dead. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. But that testimony still speaks today. And the fact that you're here today and I'm here today is testimony of what Jesus has done in our lives. So your testimony is eternal. Number two, your testimony is powerful. It's powerful. You know what? To testify, the Hebrew word means to do it again. The Hebrew word for testimony. So God longs to do something again in someone else's life because of your testimony. That's amazing that you can share your testimony and it can create a desire and a hunger in somebody else's life. And you think, and that's God that creates that desire. He wants to do it again. You know, he's no man's debtor. What God has done in my life, he wants to do in your life. And what he's done in your life, he wants to do in my life. Isn't that amazing? That our testimony is powerful. But first, the most important thing about our testimony is that it always points to Jesus. Always points to Jesus. It's not about me, myself, and I. It's about Jesus. It's about I was lost. It's not always like this. It can testify about anything. But for an example, if you're testifying about your salvation, I was lost. Jesus came into my heart. I invited him in. He's changed my life around. But it always glorifies Jesus. I love what it says in 1 Peter 3:15. It says, always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you. Always be ready. So your testimony doesn't have to be about, I was once a drug addict, if you weren't, okay? Everyone's got a testimony of something that God has done in their lives. But always be ready and keep it relevant. Keep it current. Keep your testimony current. Start looking for things in your life. What can I testify? Be ready to give an account of what Jesus has done for you. Is that okay? That's a quick intro about testimonies, how important testimonies are. They're eternal, They're powerful, they're personal, and they always point to Jesus. Okay, quick four points there, not three. So without further ado, we're going to hear some testimonies now. Are you ready? Now listen, you're very quiet today. We don't do quiet church, we do loud church. So people are going to come up here and they're going to share their testimonies. Do not nod off. They're going to tell me, if anybody closes their eyes for longer than 2 seconds, they're going to tell me, and you're going to get a letter from us, from Pastor Chris. Okay, be encouraging. It's not easy coming up here, believe you me. But so, I want you to put your hands together, and I want you to welcome the first person who's going to be sharing their testimonies. Let's welcome Sharon.
Morning, church. Morning. Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about my testimony and why I'm such a believer in Christ. So basically, when I was younger, my mum had always been praying in front of me and worshipping, and that really sowed a seed within my heart that God was real. So growing up, I always felt and knew in my heart that Jesus was real. So I was doing my own thing at some point, and I went to university, and at some point in uni, I was very, very much far from God, but I knew that I had to come back to him because I knew that he was the only one to solve my problems. He was the only one that could basically fix my broken heart. And from there, I started doing Bible studies by myself and just reading like the word of God a lot more, and I just felt God was slowly but surely healing me, and I felt more confidence in knowing that at the end of the day, God is with me, and I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry so much about these problems because they're so temporary, and God is going to pull me through. So from there, I just started to say yes to everything that God was saying to me, and eventually I came back home from uni, and we were going to Portsmouth Family Church, but I didn't really have much of a strong connection just because we weren't very regular going to church. But we always lived in Waterlooville, and I always saw Waterlooville Family Church as I'd go past Asda. And I don't know why, but for some reason, we didn't go into Family Church Waterlooville. But then one morning, I was at the gym, and God really placed a nudging on my spirit that we should go. So I just spoke to my mom and we went, and the preaching was so amazing from Pastor Sandy and Pastor Chris that we just kept on coming back. So we just kept on coming back every Sunday, and that first Sunday, there was actually a performance from, a worship time, and basically I felt so led by the Holy Spirit to join the worship team, so I just said, yes, let me just join the worship team. And this is the first time that I'd ever been a part of church. Growing up, I haven't really been a part of worship or any type of team in church, so I really felt God was in this and he was leading this. So ever since I've been a part of the worship team, I can feel that I'm seeing a different side to God, because as believers, we're called to serve one another. And that's the biggest lesson that I've been learning lately, is just a heart for serving one another. And through this, God has been working on my self-confidence as well, which has been amazing because I can see it pouring out into other areas of my life. I know that if I'm struggling in one area, I can just go into a time of prayer, go into a time of worship. And before, I've always had a heart for singing, but in terms of worship, there was a disconnect. So God is mending that part of my life as well. So I've just been worshiping a lot more, which has been amazing. I've also been put forward for Grow, which is a time of just learning about how to be a leader. And this has been really great for me because I would never have put myself up for Grow. I would never have put myself up to be a leader. But as you can see, it's like God is placing me in the right position to really use my gifts and talents. And it's been really great because I can see that being a leader, all you need to know, all you need to have is a heart to serve people. And you can do this by joining a worship team. So in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, it says, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" So God wants us to serve wherever we go, not just in church. And in Grow, I've been learning that we are representations of Christ wherever we go, and we need to be able to show that light and lead people to Jesus. So it's been amazing just to continue learning and just growing in Christ. And I'm so excited to see where he takes me after this, honestly. But yes, that's really my testimony, and thank you so much for listening.
That was brilliant. I love that. It's just spoken straight from her heart. Wasn't that lovely? Well done, Sharon. Really, really proud of you. So if you're wondering what GROW is a leadership program as well that we run within Family Church. I think it's over about a year long, once a month, over a year. And Pastor Stu and Carla are the ones that are inputting mostly into them. And they're learning all different aspects about leadership, about serving, about stewardship, all kinds of things. So I think it's a great opportunity. And it was obvious to us who to select to put on there. And so maybe next year you might be it. You know, you never know. Drop your eyes if you don't want to be included. Don't make eye contact. So we're going to invite Lalala up. Lalala, come and share your testimony. Come on. I'm looking forward to this.
Hallelujah. I'd like to first thank my pastors, Pastor Grace, Pastor Sandy, for giving me this opportunity to stand in front of you all and to share with you some of my testimonies. And I'd like to greet you all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Giving your testimony is one important thing in the life of a Christian, because you do hope that your testimony will give a change to another person's life, will give him a change of perspective, and will add more from the Holy Spirit to them. There was a song sung by the worship team. It said, "Isn't he good? Isn't he great? Look at my life. Look, isn't he able? Isn't he worthy?" And the answer you should be saying is yes. He is worthy. So giving my testimonies, a year ago before today, I was back home in Lesotho. I was praying to God, may you please help me to go to the UK. But you know, it's not just about me, because I have my family, I have my loved ones, I have everyone. So they also have to agree to what I'm saying. But at first, they were not agreeing. As a child of God, you pray to God, like, God, please help me to achieve this dream. Help me to achieve my dream and go to the UK. But you also pray that, please help my family to accept that I want to go to the UK. Within a few months, they were all saying to me, "When are you going? When are you going?" Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So a few months later, my wife and I were in the UK. So, you know, you know that God says, my blessings are not followed by sorrows. So I know for a fact that if God allows me to go to the UK, I'm going to be blessed in the UK. So we came to the UK, and here I am. I'm still feeling blessed. So coming to my other testimony, after coming into the UK, my wife and I, we stayed in QA. So we were searching for the churches from QA. So it gave us churches more on that side of the town. We went to those churches until after 3 months we had to move and then find our own house. We found a house in Pembroke. So in Pembroke we started to search. So I'm gonna give you a little story on how we prayed for a church. So back at home, we prayed that may God help us to find a church that is centered in Christ. May God help us find a church that has a feeling of a family in it. So as soon as I searched churches near me, I saw Family Church. What a coincidence. Is it a coincidence or is it Jesus really? Hallelujah. I came to Family Church and the first person I saw was Debbie. I loved our conversation with her. I felt like I'm already part of the family. And you know, I went home and I said to my wife, this is God speaking. This is God testifying that he has found a home for us. He has found a church for us. And I came to the church, I think, 2 or 3 times, and I was convinced that this is a Christ-centered church. Because above all, we are children of Christ. We are believers in Christ, not a lot of people, but in Christ, because he is our God. He is part of the Holy Trinity. It is God, it is the Son, it is the Holy Spirit. You know, Satan wants us to be in a place of distress, in a place of sadness. But then one of the missions of Family Church is that they want you to be empowered in spirit. They want you to grow. They want you to be able to reach other people with your work, with your word. And that overpowers Satan. That overpowers Satan. And me coming here, yes, I am empowered. I'm proud to say today I'm a better man than before I came here. This is due to Family Church. And I'm very thankful to you, Pastor Chris, Pastor Sandy, to everyone who is part of the congregation. That thank you so much for the experiences that you are giving me, for the growth that I am getting from coming here. So moving on. On the 24th of March, I had my daughter, Teresa, and we have been praying to have a baby, but then we didn't think that the baby would come so soon. That is God's time. That is God's time, and God's timing is the best, believe me. The Bible says that why is it not coming? Okay. Yes, it says that real joy comes from the Lord. Teresa is pure joy to our hearts, to everybody who loves her, to our family members. She is pure joy to us. She has brought a joy that, well, I've never felt as a person, and only God can give you that joy. In Psalm, it says that children are a reward from God. They are a gift from God, and I feel so blessed that God has noticed me and rewarded me with Teresa. So on Wednesday, she will be turning 4 months old on the 24th. So I'm very happy that she has been part of the church. I think she's been coming here since she was 2 weeks old, and she's been coming. So I love it. Like, I love every experience that she is having at the church. So finishing off, on the 2nd of June, I was helped by my pastors and the church to bury my old self and then come up anew as a new man in Christ. That was during my baptisms from Family Church. So, you know, the Bible says Jesus is peace. So there's a part in the Bible that shows that he said, peace be still, and the waters like were hushed. They were so silent, they were so still. That's what I feel in my life at the moment. Like, after being baptized, I feel so peaceful. Like, I feel very peaceful. I feel that physically, I don't have to exert myself. Emotionally, I don't have to exert myself. All I have to do is to trust in God, communicate more with God, grow in him, and he will take care of the rest. And that has been done through my baptism. Because before that, I was longing for Jesus. I was longing for the Lord, for him and my relationship to be more strong or more connected. And after the baptism, I do feel that I've connected more with him, and I'm happy to go on. I've already joined the team here in Waterlooville, and I'm very sure that I'm going to grow more, and I'm going to be a very strong spiritual man because of that. Thank you so much.
Praise God. I love that. I love that. Especially Debbie, you know, I don't know, you just are kind of like a magnet in this place. Wonderful. I'm blessed. Who's encouraged so far? Hey, it's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. We're just so blessed by everyone that's here and calls Family Church Waterlooville home. So, last one for testimonies for now. Come on, Stephanie, come and share with us what God's doing in your life. God bless you. You're going to be good. Praise God. You okay?
I actually came into the UK just last October, so that's been like a few months. So I grew up in the church, I would say. I grew up with my parents. I grew up mostly with my mom. She tried her best, she did her best, and she brought me and my brother and all the kids who lived with her up in the church, the Christ-like way. And I would say for a fact that she just didn't take us to church on Sundays, but then during the week, she always tried her best to make sure that us leaving the church on Sunday wasn't the end of our Christianity. Our Christianity wasn't just on Sundays, but then almost every day she tries to talk to us and lead us the way of Christ and always encourage us and helped us to establish our own personal relationships with God. And one thing she helped us to understand the most was being a Christian is not just about religion, but then it's about a personal relationship you have with Christ. Because she used to say that when Jesus was teaching us to pray, he said, "Our Father who art in heaven." And that just shows that God is not just God, but then he's our Father. So you have to have a relationship with him, just like you have a relationship with your dad. Yes.
That's very good. That's really good. I think that deserves a bit of a clap. So when I met with you recently, I asked you a question. I said, Stephanie, it must be really hard growing up in this world today. You know, I'm no spring chicken anymore, but I think it must be really, really difficult for the young people of today. And she said to me, what did you say to me?
I said no. because for me, I have been brought up the Christ-like way, and I know I have a relationship with my Father. I have a relationship with God, and I have a purpose. I know God has a purpose and plan for my life, because he said he has a purpose and plan for our life, a plan to prosper us and not to destroy us. And he has a future and a hope for us. So knowing that you have God who has a future and a hope for you, a purpose for your life, I don't think if you know that and you really, really understand that, you're going to lead yourself into doom. You'd understand that I have a purpose, I have a plan for my life. So whatever I have to do, I have to make sure I do it right and I do the right things at the right time as well.
Praise God. She's got her head screwed on right, hasn't she? And her heart. Her heart's in the right place. I just love that. Tell me about your friends. So did you go to boarding school?
Yes. Okay. So I went to a boarding school for less than 2 years. Yes. So going to the boarding school, I went there with a few friends from my primary school, but then I wasn't really close to them, so it was like being in a whole new place, knowing nobody, and just trying to navigate your way around. And God actually brought in people who helped me and actually built my faith in Christ more. Because I made friends in the boarding school that till date would actually check up on me and ask, "How is your prayer life going? Do you still study your Bible? How are you reacting to certain things?" And before I joined the worship team, I had people asking me to join. Shinee asked me to join the worship team, and then I actually didn't answer. I just smiled at her, and then I walked past. and those who know Femi and Demi, On their last day here, she walked up to me and asked me to join the worship team, and she asked me to go see Sharon. And I did the same thing again. So I was intentionally avoiding all of that. And one time, Pastor Sandy actually asked my mom, "Is any of you good with the microphones?" And my mom was like, "Oh, her. Just take care." And I was like, "No." And I was trying to walk away, but my mom just pulled me back. And then just then Sharon walked in, and Pastor Sandy looked at Sharon and was like, "Oh, hello. You have a new member on your worship team." And that was actually it. And I remember going back home and thinking of it, and I was like, "I can't stand in front of a crowd. I can't do all of this." And I actually texted my friend, and I was like, "This is what's happening to me. I don't know what to do." And then she actually really encouraged me. She said, "Don't worry about anything, because remember," she said, "remember the days of Moses. Remember how God led Moses through. If you remember, Moses was just a stammer. And when God sent him to go to Egypt and go talk to Pharaoh, he said, 'I can't do that. I am just the summer.' And then God actually reassured him and told him, 'I am the one sending you there.'" And I believe that having friends who could actually direct your path and tell you this is what you're supposed to do, and just remember and actually refer you to the Bible and not just talk about anything they want to tell you, is actually a great blessing to me. And I would encourage that we should not be unequally yoked, as the Bible says, because when you're unequally yoked, most of your decisions would have you thinking twice, especially when it comes to the things of God, because you'll not really be sure of what to do. And you ask friends, and then since they are not of the same faith as yours and they do not really understand the things of God, they might just lead you astray.
Are we learning from this? Hey, isn't this? I love this. So, yeah, bad. There's a scripture that says, "Bad company corrupts
good manners,
good character." Yeah. So we've got to be careful of the company that we keep. Hey. So, what else can you tell us? Anything else? What else did you have to say?
Okay. So, this is actually kind of related to something Sharon said about serving. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. It says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. As faithful stewards, God's grace is in its various forms." So I just want to encourage everyone here. I actually didn't think I would be standing here almost every Sunday singing and leading people into worship. But then he says in his word, as he has given us, we should give to others. We should, as we have received, we should give. So I just want to encourage anyone. You may feel like you can't do it or you're not good enough, just like I felt. I felt I wasn't good enough, and I'm actually really shy, so I actually thought I couldn't do it. But then once he has given you the gift, I believe he would see you through and he would help you use it appropriately once you avail yourself, because if you do not avail yourself, he can't use you. So once you have a gift, avail yourself to God and he would help you.
Amen. Praise God. That was awesome. And so I just wanted to actually add something to that. So Stephanie has been with us for a short period of time since October. And so when was it?
November.
So 9 months, around about 9 months. And you know what? I've just recognized something on this woman. And so the way that the structure of the church, yeah, that thing's making a big noise. Let me take that from you and I'll put this one down. The structure of the way that we do things with setup and so forth in this church is we always have an events manager who's supposed to see to all the stuff that gets done every Sunday. And Stephen is our events manager. But we've thrown the book at him. You know, the poor guy is drowning. So what we decided was we're going to split the events manager role, and part of it is going to be hosting and hospitality. So let Stephen get on top of all these cables and all this technical stuff, and we'll separate some of the church. And I've recognized something in Stephanie. You know, no matter what I've asked her, I can ask. You just see things, and that's so important, that you see things that shouldn't happen or should happen, and she's just there. And she knows how stuff works. And I've shown her once, or I've asked her once. So as a result, we've asked Stephanie if she will head up the hosting and the hospitality. How old are you?
I'm 17.
She's 17. But you know what? The Bible says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. It doesn't matter how old or young you are. I'm not the oldest in this church. I'm almost the oldest church. I'm not the oldest. But I know I'm pretty high up there with age-wise. But Stephanie, 17 years old, and I've asked her if she will oversee everything that happens there. So if on a Sunday you're on hosting or you're on hospitality and this young 17-year-old comes up to you with this beautiful smile and she says, would you mind doing XYZ? Guess what? Yes, by all means. Watch this church grow. Watch it grow. God bless you. Thank you, Stephanie. God bless you.